Hi everyone and welcome to this new episode of Geopolitical Report podcast. I'm John Befolkey, Research Manager at Special Eurasia. And today I'm recording this audio from Moscow, the capital of the Russian Federation. I'm here with the team of Special Eurasia to investigate, analyze the economic, political and social situation of the Russian Federation, particularly during the week of the presidential election. As you know, Vladimir Putin won again at the presidential election with more than 87% of the votes and was confirmed as the leader of the country. From Moscow, the perspective was different than what we read in the press, in the international press, particularly the press from Europe. These elections were labeled as illegal, not regular, from the European representative. We should also consider the fact that more than 73% of the Russian citizens went to the polling station to vote for the candidate. We can consider regular or not this election. So, from the Russian point of view, of course, they are regular also because the Russian Federation organized a different ways to express the preference. There was the classical way, voting by paper. There was the electronic way in the terminal were inside the polling station, and a citizen could register online and then go to the polling station thanks to his passport. So I can get access to the terminal and express his preference or preference, or could register inside the polling station. There were also the vote by application, and there were some rumors about the fact that voting by application could push some people and to vote for just one candidate because of external pressure. Regarding the security of this app, we can say that thanks to the blockchain system elaborated by the Russian authorities, this app avoided any kind of hacker attack. That even though there were some attempts to hacking the Russian electoral system to influence the Russian votes. What is important is that even though the European Union and the West expressed dissatisfaction regarding this election and criticized Putin, say that this election was just a farce, they were irregular, the fact is that Putin is again the president of Russia and can lead the country for the next 6 years. Also, it means that in this situation, Putin gained more votes than in 2018. And probably one of the reasons, according also to the interview and meeting that we had here in Moscow, was that the Ukraine conflict pushed many people to support Putin because of, you know, the pressure that the West put on Russians and the Russian country pushed many citizens to support Vladimir Putin. Also because, according to some statistics and some data, the Russian economy at the beginning was hit by the sanction, but then recovered. And now the Russian Federation has different commercial partners. When we were here, the team was here, Special Eurasia, we had the opportunity also to attend some meetings between African representatives and Russian representatives. And this was important because I could understand how strong is the desire of Russia to extend its influence in Africa, particularly if we consider the words of the director of SVR expressed in the publication of Razvieshnik, where he highlighted the fact that Africa can become the new battleground between the West, Russia, and also China. In Moscow, there were, and also the entire Russian Federation for this election, there were different international experts. There were around 300 international observers, even though the West and other European or Western organization didn't send their observers and their representatives because they didn't consider this election fair. We can also say and underline the fact that In this case, European representative has a Charles Michel. They labeled this election as a farsa, as irregular. But at the same time, a few weeks ago, Charles Michel expressed his gratitude, also congratulated with Ilham Aliyev, the president of Azerbaijan, for being re-elected as the leader of the country with more than 93% of the vote. And we're talking about a country which is labeled by Freedom House and other NGOs as no democratic country. So the question is, why European Union in some situation approve or support the electoral process in some countries which are not democratic? I'm talking also about Turkey, or has some cooperation and partnership with a country, not democratic country, as for instance Saudi Arabia, Qatar, also Algeria, also Egypt. Another situation, for instance, in this case of Russia, but also Iran and China, they're accusing this country of being not democratic and their electoral process is a farsa. Of course, probably we are in the field of the narrative information warfare, and as you know, human rights and democracy are just tools to accuse or to influence a foreign country. But at the same time, if you look at the geopolitics, we can say that Russia is not alone, is not isolated, as several times the European media underlined, and this is really important because we should talk about geopolitics. And since the Ukraine conflict, Russia has increased its presence in the Middle East, in the Arab Muslim world, in Eastern Asia, in Africa. Now we live in the so-called multipolar world. This means that there are different, centers of power, regional power, international power, and the West is losing his influence and, also power in different strategic scenarios, like in Africa, like in Asia. Meanwhile, Russia and China and other actors like Turkey or also Saudi Arabia and Iran are increasing their presence in these strategic regions. And probably the West should elaborate different strategies and different policies to face the problem with the multipolar world. Talking again about the Russian presidential election, we can just say that it was an historical moment. It probably was the last time that Vladimir Putin ran as a president of the country. But now the question is, what happened after? So for sure, if we look at the speeches that Vladimir Putin gave yesterday to the Russian citizens, it is clear that he talked about Ukraine, he talked about the election, he talked about Navalny, and it's clear that he continues to follow and promote the same strategies, the same policies, and Russia is ready also to enhance his presence abroad, thanks to some forums and events like the Kazan Forum, which is called the Russia Islamic Mir, like Russia and the Muslim World, Islamic World, in May 2024, Russia and the BRICS in October 2024, always in Kazan. This means also that Tatarstan is a strategic region for Russia. We'll continue also to use North Caucasus. Several times we said and we underline to promote investments in Russia, also to link the country with the Middle East and Arab Muslim world. But at the same time, Russia has elaborated different strategies to develop the Arctic region and the Eastern region, which we can consider will be in the future the arena of confrontation between Russia and the West and China for the Arctic regions, and for the Eastern region between Russia and China. So thanks for your attention, and I invite you to follow Special Eurasia, to listen to our podcast, and see you the next time. Bye-bye.